Hello, Dr. Shaw is back with my 24th podcast on teaching humanity remotely. As promised, we are continuing our discussion on the 10 governing principles that guide effective communication. I hope that as you are hearing these principles and utilizing them with your children, you're seeing some positive results. And I also would recommend that you go to my website at learnwithmeremotely.com. That's learnwithmeremotely.com. And also feel free to go to my author's page on amazon.com. My author's page is Dr. Mindy Shaw Paperbacks. In the paperback section, you can see a little bit into the book that I'm discussing my principles from, and that is Effective Communication with Children, A Parent's Guide to Effective Communication with Children. So you can look into that and then feel free to purchase it, because the information that's in that book are really twofold. First, there are the 10 governing principles that I think are essential. And in the last part of the book, there are the applications. In my answering your common questions, I'm really illustrating how the governing principles are really put to use in everyday life with your child, whether it's getting them to bed, having a successful Zoom experience with some independence, or, you know, all the other issues that could come up when dealing with your children. So at any rate, the sixth principle, which is we'll be discussing briefly today, is don't be afraid to model mistakes. So here's the deal there. Since it is my philosophy that children learn what you teach them, if you are modeling how you embrace the mistake, how you see your own mistakes as really invitations and opportunities to have learning lessons, so that you're really then getting the chance to have a retake. And a way to explain it, since children love movies, you can talk about your child's favorite movie and you can explain how many times the actors in the movie have to do retakes, you know, because they're making little mistakes. It's not as perfect as the director wants it to be. And therefore, they're given the opportunity. And that's what the mistake really is. So if you can model you making mistakes and really note them and embrace them as the learning opportunities that they can be, that they really are, if you have that philosophical view, then when your child makes a mistake, they won't have shame. They won't have embarrassment. They won't feel badly. Many young children, even when they're entering kindergarten, already feel the shame of the mistake, and they feel the pressure to already know everything. Yet when the baby is learning how to walk, that baby falls many, many times, laughs, and then just gets up again. So it's like the baby automatically has the experience that each mistake, each need to have a retake because they fall and they get up, it's the falling that is inviting the getting up. And so the mistake, the need for a retake, is really where the inspiration is. So it's really up to you to present the mistake that way. And that's why in my classroom, the children did not use erasers daily. What would happen is that if they needed it to be perfect because it was going to be a gift, or it was going to get published, their writing was going to be published, or it was going to be hanging outside, they had the choice to make it perfect, because it's also nice to have pride in your work and, you know, to have the finished product be perfect. So I'm writing books and I write them and then I edit them. And then sometimes even after they're published, I see, oh, I made a little mistake. I didn't put the period in the right place, or I didn't put a comma, or I added an extra word, because as readers, we see the words the way we think they should be anyway. So it's hard to edit your own work. And then when that happens, when I make a mistake in a printed book, I have to reprint the book because I want it to be perfect for my readers. So there is that sense that there comes a time in your work where you don't make mistakes anymore. You've had enough retakes. You've had enough learning lessons. That's okay. But while they're in the learning phase, I would not have them erase. And that is because we all have a limited amount of attention. If I, with my limited amount of attention, spend all my time feeling embarrassed that I had the mistake, and therefore I'm working very, very hard to erase the mistake, then I have no more energy, no more attention, no more focus to be able to learn from the mistake and not make the mistake anymore, because really I get the learning lesson. Besides the fact, on a funny note, you know, paper's not what it used to be, and if children are erasing really hard, they're going to tear the paper anyway. So it's really a lose-lose. But really, folks, the reality is that I don't want there to be embarrassment about the mistake. I would like my young learners to look at the mistake and say, that word like, I spelt it L-I-K. I spelt it L-I-K. Those are all the letters I heard, but I know that the I, there's a reason that I says I. It says its own name and not the short sound. Oh, it's the magic E. Now, if I spent all that time erasing the word, I wouldn't have the energy or the focus or the attention to fix that mistake, get a retake, and spell the word like correctly, which is L-I-K-E. The magic E makes the I say its own name. So that's an example. So it's really up to you as parents and teachers to model your mistakes. Yes, you make mistakes. We make mistakes all the time. But if you can embrace your mistake as the learning lesson that it truly is, then your child is going to learn to adapt that same philosophy. And therefore, when they get into kindergarten, first and second grade, they won't feel embarrassed. They won't be using their energy in trying to erase the mistake. They'll see that the mistake is an invitation for a new learning lesson. Now, in the beginning, the teacher might point out the learning lesson, but once your child starts to have a self-extending system where they really see themselves and are really motivated to be independent learners, they'll know, they'll be programmed kind of to look at the mistake that's on the paper and see if they can figure it out. And often the mistake we make really teaches, it certainly teaches the grown-up who's working with the child, but it also can eventually be teaching the child what they don't know. Sometimes just by spending a little time and a little attention for the child, independently of the grown-up, to spend some time and attention on what they wrote, they can fix the mistake. That's just another reason why it's very important for you to feel comfortable modeling your own mistake. By illustrating your mistakes, you are giving permission to your children so that it's okay for them to make mistakes. And I feel like that would just create an environment where homework won't be so challenging. There won't be an invitation to be so frustrated so quickly when new learning is happening, but rather they'd be a motivation to make it right. So I hope that you enjoy practicing this new governing principle, and that is to be very comfortable and inviting the modeling of your own mistakes and then discussing it with your child. Until next time, enjoy. And again, please feel free to go to my website at learnwithmeremotely.com and my author's page, Dr. Mindy Shaw, paperbacks, and Amazon. Be well. Stay healthy.
And that concludes this episode of the podcast series, Teaching Humanity Remotely with Dr. Mindy Shaw. Thank you for listening. You can follow Dr. Shaw on Facebook. Her page is Learn With Me Remotely. That's on Facebook. That's also her website, learnwithmeremotely.com. Her podcasts and all the books that she's been referring to are on that site for purchase, and samples are there as well. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mindy Shaw 1. Dr. is abbreviated DR, and the 1 is the number 1, Dr. Mindy Shaw 1. And on Instagram at Dr. Mint with a T, Shaw. Thanks again for listening. Watch out for the next podcast in the series. That'll be coming real soon.